Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Man, we got a great conversation going on today. We got a great conversation because I have a guest that's going to share some things with you that I've been talking about over the last few months. And, you know, I always like to bring in that expert perspective. I always like to bring in somebody that's going to give you that, moment. Somebody that's going to make you think just a little deeper. You know, over the last few months, we've been talking about mental health, and I like to just simply title it as the invisible illness. Because I say that because there's some things out there that, you know, when we are going through some stuff, if folks can't see us what a defect, whether or not our arm is wrapped in a cast, whether or not it's in a sling, whether or not we're on crutches, whether or not we got a limb wrapped up or in a brace, or whether or not we got a big old bandage, gauze wrapped all around us, whether or not we got all that, there's some illnesses out there, some injuries and some wounds out there that goes on up inside our head that folks often don't see. And when they don't see it, they don't believe we experience it. Why? I don't understand that. All of us are experiencing something to some degree. You know, I was recently listening to Dr. Joy DeGruy, and she was talking about something that's very, very, very interesting to me right now. And every time I get a chance to hear one of her presentations or look inside of one of her books that she has out, I just get caught up. She's talking about post-traumatic slave syndrome. But that's an altogether different topic than what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about something that's a little closer to home, something that's a little near and dear to what we deal with our children. And in some cases, not just our children, some adults as well. So, folks, we're going to get this show rocking and rolling, but you know I can't start my show without first kicking off my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith made this little piece for me some years ago called The College Experience, and I feel the need to play it each and every time I'm here on the Parents Culture Parents Network. So, where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He said he's making smart cool. That's why I have to play that song each and every time, because it's just something about those words that he shared, making smart cool. Now, Keith had a very, very successful, he still has a very successful career ahead of him. Keith is a graduate of University of Harvard and played 4 years of basketball at Harvard and then went on to currently continue playing overseas. And every now and then, you know, he may take off some time and come back and do some things here in the local area or wherever he's residing now. But every time I get a chance to sit down and just talk to him, I just admire the young man, because I understand the struggles and the journey that he took to get to where he's at today, you know. But we're going to talk about something else this afternoon. I want to unpack some things, because oftentimes I hear ADHD being referred to as the absent daddy in the home disorder. And, you know, sometimes I look at it and say, interesting. That may have some teeth to it. But I want to say there's really an issue there. There's really a situation there that we need to really have a full understanding of, and not just totally dismiss it and think that, you know, because the child doesn't have a dad in the household and, you know, it became an altogether different situation. You know, ADHD, ADD, you know, ADD started out ADHD started out as ADD, and then they threw in that hyper part in there, and then all of a sudden it just transformed into a epidemic, and kids were being diagnosed left and right with that situation. But I'm going to pull back, because I'm not the expert talking about this subject today. I'm going to bring in our special guest. And our guest comes to us from the great state of Virginia. Oh, from Virginia. I say it's from Virginia. I'm not going to say the great state of Virginia, because there's other states out there that you may want to think that your state is just as good, you know. But comes to us from Virginia. I'm not sure if she originally hailed from there, but we're going to leave it at that. But I want to bring in Nurse Hollingsworth and see if she's going to join us today and open up this conversation. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon to you. Glad to have you on. And sorry to hear about the little incident that you experienced here recently, but that too shall pass. You know how that goes.
Oh, you bet. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It will pass.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Well, tell us just a little bit about yourselves and let the folks know who they're talking to this afternoon.
Well, as he said, my name is Tambra Hollingsworth. I am a pediatric nurse practitioner. I'm retired lieutenant commander via the Navy. I landed in Virginia close to 30 years ago.
We're not going to hold that against you. We're not going to hold that Navy thing against you, though. Okay, we're not going to hold that again. We're going to keep on rolling with that, but we're not going to hold that
okay.
Again.
Okay. All right. But yes, I landed in this area close to 30 years ago, and I've been a nurse practitioner probably about 23 years roughly. And I knew from a kid that I would go into the medical field, but I never knew that I would one day become a nurse practitioner and end up owning my own practice, which I started the 7th of December, 2021. So I am very new small private practice called Southside Spectrum Pediatrics, which is located in Virginia Beach on Providence Road, 5320 Providence Road, Suite 100.
Give them that address one more time. You know, folks take a while to write stuff down. Their pen ain't working. They done broke the lead on their pencil. Go ahead. One more time for that address.
All right. I apologize. I'm going to slow that down. It's 5320 Providence Road, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23464. And our contact phone number is 757-937-3029.
One more time with that phone number, please.
757-937-3029. And we do have a website. Would you like that website?
Oh, by all means. If you're going to share it, we're going to put all that out there.
All right. It's Southside Spectrum. It's all one word. Southside Spectrum Peds. .com.
And what was that? What was that second thing after Southside Spectrum?
PEDS.
Okay.
.com. So Southside Spectrum Peds.com. So essentially, what we do at the practice is we do school physicals, sports physicals, and as Mr. Scott was saying here, I have noticed, especially. I'd say, well, it's been going on forever, like you said, with ADD, ADHD. But I've been really noticing an uptick with pediatrics, with the pediatric population, going into young adult and into adult age. And what we do at our practice is that we try to look at the whole individual, not just that one entity, not just that mental aspect, because everything adds up. It depends on how well you're taking care of yourself in terms of what you're eating, how much rest you're getting, and, of course, what your home environment is like. So when you come in for an ADHD evaluation, of course, we're going to get your family history. We want to find out if you've ever been on a stimulant. And then we give you all these different questionnaires. And then I have been finding the most important thing is to find out where you are with your vitamin levels, what your nutrients are. We look at your liver, we look at your heart, we look at all those things, because believe it or not, all of that plays in to our mental health. And if we are deficient, like for instance, most people are deficient in vitamin D. How do you get vitamin D? You got to get outside and get exposed to the sun. But most people are deficient in that, and as an example, that can clog your mind. That can affect your ability to think. So what we do is we look at all these different levels and get a baseline. We even look at your thyroid, all of that, to make sure everything is on track. And once we get those that information back from the lab results, then we can start from there and figure out what we need to correct in the diet before we jump into the stimulant.
Now, you went kind of deep on us there. Now, does the same thing take place for adults as well as, well, should I say adolescents as well as the younger age group? Would you go through the same exact process?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And because most of the people that I'm seeing with this are the adolescents and the parents, the adults. So that's what we do. We go, we get the baseline labs, we kind of drum up a plan that's to that individual, and then we monitor that. And then, you know, I'm not against stimulants. I was at one time, but I'm not against stimulants. If you need one, you need one. But we have found that when you take care of your whole body, and guess what? That even includes dental care, okay? That includes dental care. You got to take care of your whole body, because a lot of times we're finding that we're just dragging and tired. And all. Guess what? Because we're not putting the right things into our bodies that will help to bring clarity to our minds. So that's the reason why we try to look at the whole individual.
So at some point in time, do you also have a nutrition plan or something along that line?
We
or
just
that
give
something
you basic
in the work?
Plan.
That's
something in the work. Right now, that's as basic because, you know, you just really want to eat the proper food groups. And you and I both know that a lot of the food that's out there now, it's not really that great. And everybody's lives are so busy. that there many times is just dropping by the fast food place and grabbing milkshakes and all that good stuff, which a lot of times leads to the other issue, which is obesity. But I know we're not talking about that today.
No, we're not talking about that. But I'll grab me a milkshake quick. I'm just kidding. I couldn't even tell you the last time I had a milkshake. But, you know, it's interesting that you get this deep into it. What actually inspired you to focus on this particular field?
Well, you know, at one time I was really interested in holistic health, functional medicine, where you would approach it more so, less than, you don't want to use all the chemicals, so you were trying to do it from a natural standpoint, right?
Yes.
Take the natural vitamins and supplements and things like that. But you don't see a lot of that. It's starting to become more popular because I think when people start taking a lot of things, they're realizing there's so many side effects that they're chasing the side effects, you know, along with the original issue. And I think if we can get to the underlying issue and work our best at that, with that, then we can move forward. Okay, so that's one of the reasons why, is because I just believe the natural way is the best way to go.
And I would agree with you 100%. I just haven't been able to totally transform over to that side yet. I've been running the fence for a long time, but I haven't been able to totally transform over to that side.
Go
ahead.
No. I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, and I do both. You know what I'm saying? I do both, but I feel that a lot of times people want a quick fix, and ultimately, if you want longevity and you want the best out of your body, you better try to, you know, go as natural as you can, in addition to using, your traditional medicine or your conventional medicine. But I think both of them can work hand in hand, but I just try to get people to focus on who they are, which will start to help them better process what's going on in their mind. You know what I mean? To address the issue, the underlying issues.
And wow, you just shared a whole lot with us, and folks are now looking at themselves. Folks, go ahead, take that look in the mirror and see what you need to start working on yesterday, not today, yesterday.
Yeah.
You should already be
because a lot of times, think about it, when you're taking those stimulants, it kind of helps you hide a little bit because it makes you function a little bit better, you know, with performance, interacting with people. But again, you're still not addressing the underlying issue. You're still not addressing the underlying issue, right?
True. You know, it's interesting that you say that because I had a firsthand experience with the conversation around stimulants, should I say. When my son was in his younger days, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, I was called into his preschool. I'm not even talking about, he hadn't reached kindergarten yet. I was called into his preschool, and they sat down with his mom and I, and we were talking, and, you know, and then the next thing, I guess the person that oversees the school brought in the school psychologist and started talking about some things. And next thing to know came out of their mouth, well, you may want to consider, we have some medications that can kind of like slow him down a little bit because he is a bit hyper. And they kept saying he was hyper. And I'm like, okay, we're talking about a three-year-old boy. We're talking about a four-year-old boy that every time he gets a chance to get outside, he's going to wild out. He's going to get into something, you know.
Right.
And they were saying he was so aggressive and he's so rough. And I said, well, first of all, he's a whole head size bigger than all the other kids in the class because he was a tall child and still tall to this day at 6'8", 240.
Wow.
So as a result, he is going to be a whole head size bigger than most of them. And although he was young, he was still, and he and I, we would sit around and we would wrestle and, you know, we would do different things. And of course, he's trying to match the strength with what I'm putting out, and I'm not trying to, you know, do too much. But at the same time, he wanted to show me, Dad, I can hold you. I can hold you. You know, okay, come on, son.
Yeah.
So when he gets to these little kids, he's just pushing them around like they're rag dolls in some cases.
Yeah.
You know, and although he was younger, he was just pushing them around. And so they caused him to have somewhat of a complex later on in life.
Yeah.
During his elementary and middle school days, he had somewhat of a complex because he always didn't want to be too physical because he was always told, you're being a bully, you're being... So does all kids, you know, let's get back to the conversation at hand. Does all children require diagnosis and you know, is it that just that quick and that easy to say, you know, they have ADHD or they have ADD or they have a slight case of anxiety or some other disorder? You know, is that always the end all be all?
Well, here's the problem that I see. Because of the way things are set up with our school systems, your hands are kind of almost forced to go the stimulant way, because otherwise these teachers cannot move forward with the classroom. So if you have children who are constantly disrupting the classroom and things of that nature, it makes it very difficult not to go ahead and put these kids on the stimulants. Because I think, you know, when you think back 40, 50 years ago, you know, the school system was totally different, where the teachers had a little bit more control. And to me, they had a lot more structure, and they had people who were actually trained to provide that structure to kids. Now, to me, it seems as if there's not a lot of structure, and there's not a lot of people who are trained to deal with these kids. And to me also, I find that a lot of these kids are so smart, and if they're not challenged, then they're going to act out.
Yes, yes.
They're not challenged. And yes, so a lot of times, instead of being in the kindergarten, they should probably be in the first or second grade.
And I can attest to that as well, because my son, I got to go back to him, because that's my firsthand experience. You know,
yes.
He would finish his work. He'd be sitting around the classroom, bored. So now, okay, he's first and second grade. He's going to create something for him to do. Because he's bored, because he's finished.
Right.
You know, them little handful of math problems that you gave him, he done knocked them out.
Yeah.
And I've been going to bet he probably has 95 to 100% of them correct.
That's right.
So as a result, he started creating things for himself to do. And in doing that, he became disruptive to the classroom.
Yeah.
And so the teacher tried to... you know, put him in that category. Yeah, he's a major disruption to the class. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's
sitting
there, he's doing this, and he's messing with other kids while they're still trying. Okay, that means he's finished. So give him something else to do. Just let him straighten up the books over in the corner. Back in that time period, you still had chalkboards. Let him go erase the chalkboard.
Yes.
Let them go get a bucket of water and something and just erase the chalkboard. That's going to take a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
But just to let them idle, that wasn't a good thing for them.
Right,
know?
Right.
So how do we deal with situations like that?
Well, I think it's important that if possible, if you have a parent or both parents who can go to the school and meet with the individuals there, to, you know, the school teachers and admin and all, and sit down and talk about a plan, coming up with an IEP if needed, or 504, something, coming up with a plan. And just, I think when parents show interest in those kids, then you get a better response from the school teachers. And then once you can have those children tested to see if they really do have that, or if it's just more of behavioral issues that are coming from home, or it gets so, it's so many different variables. It's not just one thing. So that's why I try to take every kid and look at every situation for that individual, specifically for that individual, because there's always so many dynamics there. But I do find that when you have parents that take interest in their children, you get a better response from the school.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. And there's no cookie-cutter model for those students, you know. Every single one of them has it.
Yeah. Hello?
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I knew you was about to say. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say sometimes it's just as simple as having that child placed into another classroom, because it oftentimes, too, you have a conflict between that teacher and that child. And sometimes when you take them out of that situation and put them into a different classroom, they do better.
Yes, I can. Boy, you're speaking my language right now. You are speaking my language right now. But I had to learn this the hard way. As a single parent at the time, and the young man just went on to do such great things, graduated from the University of Virginia, and has had a very successful career thus far, enjoying life, still doing what he loved to do, and it's just been a cakewalk for him. So, you know, that's one of those things that if I'd have followed the lead of what was initially put out there, my child would have probably been walking around looking like a zombie or something like that. And I didn't want that. I didn't want that. And I didn't think he needed that. I think he just needed it to be stimulated, because he was educated enough, and his academics were so strong. Challenge him.
Yeah.
You know, don't let him sit in idle. Challenge him. And that's what I think a lot of these kids are. Challenge him. Make them come up with another way to teach other than just standing up in front of the classroom, and the same way we've been doing it for the last, 250 years, just stand up in front of the classroom, desks are lined up right there in front of you, and somebody stand up there talking. Or now we're looking at devices, Chromebooks and iPads and all these other things, but it's still the basic, same basic concept. So as we're talking about all this, and I think when you and I initially talked, you gave me a little insight about your athletic tendency that you got hidden in back there in the closet somewhere that you don't want to bring out. But no, you told me that you had just went for a run, I think it was. Yeah, I think you did share that
Yes,
with me.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? And wait, touching back on to that ADHD, that's the other problem. The kids do not. They don't exercise. They don't.
That's true.
And that's another thing.
That's so another true thing.
But let me just say this. I was pretty good. You know, I was okay. I played basketball in high school.
Uh-oh.
I went to Ohio State, and I couldn't keep up. There was just no way I can do it. So that's as far as I went. But I love sports. I have a passion for sports. So I very much love sports, and I still like to go out, jog 6 miles, 7 miles when I get a chance. But I love sports. Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's relate all this to our young athletes of today.
You know,
it's an altogether different picture out there as we grew up as athletes, compared to what these kids are going through now and dealing with now. Let's talk about some of these diagnoses and athletes. Tie the two pieces together for me.
So you're talking about with regards to ADHD?
Yes.
Or is that what you're saying? And again, it goes back, because that's mostly what I'm seeing are the adolescent groups. And I think, again, I look at the whole body. When the patients come in, even though you don't have a whole lot of time to see the patients, I try to get them to come back and talk to me and open up to me. And discuss, you know, what their goals are, you know, what's going on in your life, because many times it's almost as if, and this is one of the reasons why I do not like social media, is because everybody gets on there and everybody sees the same thing. Everybody has anxiety. Everybody's got bipolar. Everybody's got ADHD. So it's almost like learned behavior. And a lot of times when you show interest in an individual, you pull them to the side and say, listen, talk to me. Express to me what's going on. Because a lot of what they want you to do is just slap a pill on it and call it a day. No. Let's get to that again. I'm driving underlying issues there. What are the underlying issues? And when you can try to get someone to mentor these kids or spend time with these kids and open up to these kids so they'll have someone to talk to, that right there makes a major difference. And especially in the adolescent, you know, age group, it makes such a major difference. But these people have nowhere to go.
That is so true. That is so true. And I think
you have to. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. And you have to go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. I was going to say, and you have to. And I try to bring the family members in. And I know that those dynamics make it so difficult for adolescents, especially if it's coming from a broken home where there's abuse and things of that nature. That's why I wish that there were more programs, again, that we could provide for these adolescents to go to where they can come and talk, because that's all they need is someone to show them that they care.
Hey, exactly. I agree with you 100%. I think we got a caller that popped in here that had a question for you. Calling in from area code 512. Area code 512. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. You're on. Hello? Uh-oh. What happened?
Sure, you can't hear me?
Oh, I can hear you,
can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Mike, thanks so much for actually having this topic, and I'm just really enjoying the conversation and discussion. But I just wanted to get some clarification around, you were talking about you felt like the school system lacked the structure for some of us to get the level of support we needed so we did not have to go to medication. So I guess I don't think that's the case, but I was a little surprised when you said that. Because my son was kind of in the scenario that Mike's son was in. He was a gifted student. He was very bored in the classroom, and they wanted to call him as acting out and, you know, label him as needing medication. And we were like, absolutely not. We're not going to do that. We're going to come and observe what's going on and get some resources around him so he can get in the classroom that's at the level that he'll be challenged at instead of you calling it being bored. So I guess I want to understand more about why you felt like there wasn't a structure in place that would encourage that as opposed to saying take the medication and move on.
Well, if I understand you correctly, I am in total agreement with what you're saying. I'm sorry if I didn't convey that. What I was saying, it depends on what school system you're in. And I'm going by what I have experienced in my practice with the type of kids that are coming to my practice. You don't get all that from the same, you know, from the school systems here where I'm at. And so I guess I'm just more so basing that on my personal experience with the type of kids that I deal with or with the type of schools that they attend. But yes, you're right. There are many schools that can support or does support, like you're saying. I'm just saying that that's what I have experienced a lot of. Does that make sense?
That's really unfortunate. That's unfortunate because I guess I think that if I were in that school system and had that level of authority, I would bring to someone's attention that has maybe a principal or maybe go to a board meeting or something and just share some of those thoughts with the parent. I don't know. I guess I feel like an open forum is needed when you start seeing those type of fallacies in the system and nothing being done about them.
But believe it or not, there, ladies, in the school system, school district that I'm in, I see it on a regular basis. And I've worked in two separate school districts over the past 10 years. And I see it on a regular basis because oftentimes what happens, the parents don't even know how to advocate for their children. When
exactly,
they don't know, then you have that gap. See, Annette, you're a unique situation. You have three very promising children that are all successful in their own right. And they've had the opportunity to not only have you in that corner, their dad in that corner. But, you know, the whole works, you know, and when you have a strong supporting cast, then that eliminates a lot of those other issues and folks don't just push your child off to the side. But in many cases, these urban areas, these inner city areas, and some of these suburban areas, you have that gap because you have parents that's working, you know, two different jobs, a full-time job, a part-time job, not able to get to the school. When they get to the school, they're stressed out because they had to leave their job, and, you know, they're looking at their money being funny and all kinds of things is going on. So as a result, and the district itself is not going to put that out there. They're going to, I've seen it, where they actually will just, and I hate to say it, label the child, move the child to a different setting, and then move forward with that child being in the classroom or in being a small group classroom or small group setting or whatever. I know a young man myself, and then we're going to take a break here in a second. I know a young man that I deal with on a regular basis in the current school district. He was on medication. And every day he would take that medication, I would watch him as he walked out of the nurse's office after he took that medication, and his whole demeanor would change. And it wasn't because the medication hit him that fast. It was because he said the medication just tears his stomach up and make him put him in a place that he don't want to be the rest of the day. And this is whether or not he ate that day or whether or not he didn't eat or whatever. It's just something about that medication that, you know, he could have did without. Because I'm watching him now being able to do without it, just having a good conversation, you know, me stopping him in the hallway or someone else stopping him in the hallway and getting him focused right off the start of the day. He's been just fine. Little slips up here and there, but he's been just fine. But thank you for your question, and then hopefully Nurse Hollingworth addressed it a little bit for you or touched on something or gave you a better perspective of where she was trying to keep the conversation going. Yes, no, maybe.
That's fine. I appreciate that because I really wanted to get more of a perspective on it, and I have a sister in education. So I'm going to talk to her about that.
Please do.
Perspective about, you know, she's a superintendent of a school district, so I'm going to have a long conversation with her about what I'm hearing and see what her perspective is. And I'm going to bring back to you, Mike, just so you can actually have another side of the story of what her perspective is about it.
Yes. And you know, they always have to say that their school district is prepared and their school district is ready to do this and ready to do that. But until we get into that one little building and watch what goes on in the various classrooms, those folks sitting up in the superintendent's office and all that main district office may not know what's going on really and truly down there in that little small setting called a schoolhouse. But I'm gonna stop and take a break right now, and we'll be right back, folks. Hey, all the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call. Hope.
How you doing, Mr. Scott? This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call at your...
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John B. Lopp, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, it's Dave Lakeville calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your facts.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry to bother you. I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just wanted to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network. Sam, are you still with us?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
folks, we've been having that great conversation, folks, and I think she's opened some of our eyes to some things that we don't know. You know, I say you don't know what you don't know. Hey, I put that in the Sports Parents Guide. You need to get yourself a copy written by M.H. Scott. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But today, we've been talking about some things called attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And she's been sharing some good information with us. And we was about to open up and talk about how all this relate to athletes and how athletes are sometimes diagnosed with that. But they somehow managed to work their way through it. Could you share some information with us on that?
I find a lot of times parents and patients are concerned that, my God, will I have to take this for the rest of my life? The answer is no, not necessarily so. The other thing that I was thinking during the break, I said one of the things that again, ADHD is not as simple as everybody thinks, because you may be dealing with issues that are much deeper in terms of someone being psychotic, severe depression, bipolar. All of that, a lot of times, are tied in. So it gets really, really murky when you're trying to determine if that's simply just what it is. And so a lot of times when you're dealing with, especially with adolescents, I mean, you can think about the fact that you're going into manhood or womanhood and you got all these hormonal changes going on. You may have a lot of family dynamics going on. There could be abuse issues. I'm telling you, it's deep. It's deep. And so a lot of times, that's what I was saying before, you don't want to just automatically throw someone on a medication, because then you're dealing with the side effects of that. And a lot of times, one of the side effects, especially, well, what I see a lot of, is that those stimulants sometimes can drive you into deeper depression, can cause you to become suicidal, even if you weren't before, or even if you were before, can worsen that. So there's just so many different things to look at. So it's something where, you know, if I have kids who are going away to college, I'm like, look, if you can't come back to see me, I certainly want you to have follow-through and follow-up wherever you're going, because you don't just want to automatically take that medication, especially if you don't need it.
And you know, it's interesting that you say that, and I know, there are young athletes that have went away from home and suffered anxiety. And I'm not talking about just mild anxiety. I'm talking about major anxiety because, you know, they've been put in a place where, you know, they're used to being a part of the team, and they may have been a starter at their high school, and then now all of a sudden they get to college and hasn't quite figured out how to fit in. So as a result, they become a little bit withdrawn, especially in situations where they don't have anybody else that they could connect with. I know a young man that the parents had to actually go up to the university. And sad part about that, it was the university was local. They went up to the university, you know, because they noticed they hadn't seen their son on the field last couple games. He hadn't played. And he was just up in his room. And when they checked with you know, some of his teammates, hey, have you seen him? They said, you know, they haven't seen him in about a week, thought he had withdrew. And he was sitting up in his room, depressed, you know, going through some things because he didn't feel as though he fit in, but he didn't want to disappoint his family at the same time. So that's some really tough stuff. And I think athletes experience stuff like that even more so just due to their character than the average everyday child. Give me your thoughts on that.
Wow, that's pretty intense. I'm sitting here thinking, I'm fantasizing about the fact that, wow, wouldn't it be nice if we could have support groups, and I'm pretty sure there are places out there, colleges out there, campuses that have that type of service. But, you know, being able to have support groups where they can go and get support like that, yeah, that's pretty intense. And it's one of those things, too, where, like you said, you may have parents who are very hard on people, you know, hard on their athletes. And so, and they're doing it not realizing that that's causing them to, you know, pull away and go into a deeper depression, like you said, because they feel like they cannot meet their standards. But, you know, I would just, you know, if I'm dealing with parents, I'm like, listen, this person is doing the best they can. Just be supportive. Be supportive, whether they fail or not. Be supportive. Okay, let's be realistic, but let's be supportive. Show love no matter what. And but it's a work in progress, because there's just no simple answer, because again, every situation is different. But you definitely, and that's why I was talking about mentorship programs, things of that nature, Those things have kind of fallen off.
Yes,
they've kind
yes,
of fallen
yes,
off,
yes,
and
yes.
we need to find a way to get back to that. You know.
Well, you know, I started out talking about the invisible injury or visible
yes.
illness. You know, that is so true, and I think about it each and every time. You know, I get on this subject because you think about a young athlete. And I'm going to take I'm going to take myself, for example. And I'm going to look at it from the perspective of during the time I was going through basic training in the United States Marine Corps, of course. Basic training. I had to put that out there. You know,
I got it.
I had some things going on in my head, you know. Here I am. I'm way down in South Carolina. I'm from the northeast corner of the United States. And I'm now removed by thousands of miles away from home. And I'm like, what if I don't like this place? You know, can I just go home just that easy? Say, hey, I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm out. Is it just that easy? You know, I've had, you know, thought about quitting things earlier on in life and decided to either stick with it or fade away from it. But this was different. So my mind was playing some serious tricks on me during the 13 weeks I was down there in boot camp. I seen some of my fellow Marines go through some days of depression. Where you know they didn't know what to do, and as a result they ended up after about 2 years they got out because they realized that you know that just wasn't for them, and you know, all the things that they were supposed to learn they didn't learn because their mind just wasn't there during that time of the training period. So I could see that same thing happening with young athletes that say you come from Virginia and you end up in Texas somewhere. And you get there and, you know, the coach that recruited you to come to that school to play ball is no longer there. Him and his staff got fired. So now you're with an altogether different coach who really don't want you because he didn't recruit you. You're not the caliber of player that he wants to have on his team. But you had signed your letter of intent and you are, hey, by all actuality, you are one of his eligible players for this particular season. So what do the kid do now? You know, what does the athlete do now? There's several organizations out there that I are affiliated with. We had a little program called Boots on the Ground where we had parents that were in that local area that will reach out to different kids just to see how they're doing, the wellness check and all that kind of stuff, just to make sure that they understood if they wanted to have a nice hot meal, a real meal, a balanced meal, not a McDonald's, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, Hardee's, Wendy's, whatever meal, a real balanced meal with some greens and some other vegetables and some real cooked food and some cornbread and whole works, then they could come, you know, out to their house to get that meal. So we actually worked that for a number of years, but I think we need to continue to push forward to make things like that happen more often. And, and it was a good thing for our children because the ones that, you know, go to these colleges and universities and they're far away from home, in all actuality, the child never been out of their own neighborhood. Oh, that's devastating. Devastating.
Yes.
And especially if the child is a child that at one point in time had been identified as having ADHD or having anxiety attacks or having one of these disorders. You know, now this child is in an altogether different space, you know. But I'm not the expert today here on this conversation. It's you, and we want to hear what you have to say. And how can parents help their children work through these situations? Or what's some of the tips that you can give parents to help them get through some of this and help them get the school district, if you're still listening to that, help them get the school district on track to make sure they're providing the right resources for our kids?
Well, you know, as you were talking about all of that, I wasn't an athlete, but you know, going away to college, being in the Navy, being away from all that was familiar, I went through all that myself in terms of being depressed and homesick and all that. For me, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. I had everywhere I went, I had strong support groups through the churches that I attended. So I know that is definitely a possibility for a lot of kids that are out there. If you have a church you go to here, find a church wherever you're going there. Okay, that's very important, because like I said, your spiritual life is most important. If you have that foundation, I guarantee you it'll help you to walk through, because there's no easy way to get through it. Easy way to get through it. So God first, family, love, you know, family, whether it be mother, father, aunt, uncle, cousins, whoever, love. And constant, even if you can't get to where they are physically, pick up the phone, call, you know, at least once a week, and stay in touch. Don't expect them to call you, but you got to pick up the phone and call them, because they're still, you know, even though they're, you know, 20, you know, 18, 19, 20, they're still developing in their mind, still trying to find out who they are. So be there for them. That, you know, that's pretty much the advice I have, because there's no one right answer. All situations are different, but I believe God first and family and love and support. You've got to stay in communication. Encourage them to take care of their bodies. Make sure they're getting rest, that kind of thing. So a lot of times people don't rest. That's another big thing. Got to have rest.
who are you telling? I'm about to shut it down here in a few minutes myself. I've been up early this morning.
Yes.
Doing a little bit of traveling, so I'm about to shut it down here for a few hours myself. As soon as I get done with this broadcast. Right. But anyway, that's an altogether different story. But hey, give us some information on how folks can reach out with you, keep up with you, see anything, any information that you're putting out there that we can just stay up on this good information that you share with us this afternoon.
Look, come by my office. Come see me. Come by my office. Come see me. Go to my website. Like I said, you know, you need physicals, things of that nature. If you're interested, if you have children that have ADHD, small anxiety issues, I'll deal with that. So give me a phone call. Give me a phone call at that number that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, at the 757-937-3029 number. And remember, I'm just now getting started with this practice, so I'm very busy with trying to run the business right now. But if you have questions, please feel free to give me a call, and I'll do what I can to help you. And if I can't, I will direct you to who can.
And she did say, folks, that number is 757-937-3029. 937-3029. And this is Miss Tamara Hollingsworth. And she has that wonderful position out of wonderful place. Now you mentioned, hold on, before I even close out with that, you mentioned about sports physicals for athletes.
Yes.
Is this something, like most of the time they do them at the school and they have to pay X amount of dollars? Is this something that's covered by insurance, or is this something that they can, you know, come out there and get and pay for it right there in your office, or how does that work?
Yeah, they can come. I believe our fee is $45, but call to verify that with my office manager.
Yes.
And I know a lot of times people will wait till the last minute. So just call and schedule. You can schedule far out. We'll get you on the schedule and get you set, so you don't have to wait till the last minute running around trying to find a physical. But yeah, we'd like to help you out, and I'm gonna be one of those to say, listen, let's check out your blood work and make sure you are properly, your vitamins and minerals, all that stuff is good. We want to make sure your lipids, all of that stuff is good. Okay.
Awesome, 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 folks. We've been talking with Nurse Hollingsworth. Nurse Tamara Hollingsworth. Yes, the one and only Navy. But we're going to go with that anyway. But we're going to keep that, we're going to keep that clean. We're going to leave her alone.
Anchors away. All right. Thank you so much,
away, folks. But it's all good. It's all good. We love to have folks like you just be an affiliate of the Parents Culture Parents Network and help keeping this information out there for that next generation of parents, because we can't do this by ourselves. And we always say the same thing. Help us help you. Hey, until next time, it's been real fun. We out of here.